Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, or anyhow, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadeekarup, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation, and the one-party cheese-covered post-constitutional bribocratic corruptocracy, mocracy of the United States of Listeria, with a patriotic salute to Uncle Salmonella and a hearty Heil Busch. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, welcoming the audience listening to the program now for the first time on the Nova M flagship station on radio and online on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX in Phoenix. And, well, you haven't heard progressive until you've heard vegan. So if you've missed the show over the last almost 8 years now, you have a lot of catching up to do. You can go to goveganradio.com for many archives. And we have come to the conclusion here that the progressive lifestyle itself is all about being vegan. It's the green diet. And now that we're heard on radio in the state that has given us this year's Republican Nazi ticket of McCain and unable. Great. Thanks for another meat-eating presidential candidate, my friends in Arizona. On this show, by the way, the officially recognized president is a vegan, Dennis Kucinich. You know, the tampering with the voting machines. I believe that all the enthusiasm shown for Kucinich, he probably really won, and all of them got counted for somebody else. So he is the president here, and he is the one respected person in our U.S. Gov environment, Dennis Kucinich, the one vegan in the United States Congress, or Consgris. And we expect to have Dennis Kucinich on next week's program. My friends, if there were any question of the presence of mad cow disease in the adult U.S. population, we needed to look no further than the behavior of George W. Bush and that Dick Cheney. Both meat eaters, I might point out. Both meat eaters, right? George Bush, meat eater. Dennis Kucinich, vegan. Cesar Chavez, vegan. Dick Cheney, meat eater. And now meat-eating Senator McCain, either showing signs of the dementia stage of mad cow disease. And I'm not just saying this because...
Oh, new one. I know. You're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
You know, example, Sarah Palin. Or, he's had that brain transplant. You don't see Dick Cheney and John McCain in the same place, huh? Has there been the brain transplant? Is it John Dick Brain? It's hard to say, huh? Anyway, you can look at all of these candidates. You can look at Sarah Pale in comparison to the magnitude of our national economic woes. And I, for one, I'm actually happy that Sarah Palin is on the campaign trail. Every moment that she's out there giving some inane speech about canine lip cosmetics, every minute she's giving a speech is a minute that a moose's life is being saved from her horrifying hobby of killing for fun. Just what we want in a commander and thief again, huh? And here we have the adult survivor of the parental abuse of forcing her to murder animals as a child, going against all of her natural feelings, screwing her up for life, and now obviously qualifying her for that office there. What else can shooting a rabbit at age 10 do to a little girl who naturally should love rabbits, huh? She grows up to promise to promote shooting of more animals from helicopters and from aircraft, shooting wolves and bears and offering a bounty on the legs of wolves. And she says, ah, let the polar bears drown. There's no global warming. But anyway, why waste time on Bullwinkle breath? Related to Sarah, pale in comparison to the latest crisis. Our economy, which is fried, it's melted down. And when it comes down to it, once again, meat and dairy are to blame. It's just devastating. I'm constantly calling meat and dairy the most destructive force on the planet. And now, in so many ways, meat and dairy have destroyed the economy. And just from so many different ways, you know, we'll actually even go into it later with a report from the Union of Concerned Scientists on the hidden costs of confined animal feeding operations. There are so many costs involved with meat. Our health costs are. Let me quickly here, if I can, go to these charts I saw from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, the food pyramid chart and economic pyramid chart. While federal nutritional recommendations endorse 11 servings of grain, 9 servings of fruits and vegetables, 6 servings of protein, so that pyramid has a base of grains and fruits and vegetables, but the federal food subsidy pyramid is turned upside down. So of the billions of dollars of subsidies for food production, 1995 to 2005, meat and dairy, 74% of the billions, grains to feed the animals whose mammary secretions will be drunk and whose flesh will be eaten, 13%. So we are at 87% of the billions of dollars in federal subsidies for agribusiness or agribiz-mess. And, oh, by the way, nuts and legumes get 1.9% of the subsidies. Fruits and vegetables, 0.4%. Not even one half of 1%, while meat and dairy, 87% of the billions in subsidies, plus your ham-American government purchases surplus cheese and milk and beef and pork and shoves it down the throats of children in the student lunch program and other federal assistance programs, which is insanity, and look what it leads to in health issues, which we'll get to on the program. Also coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we have Michael Budke. It's National Primate Liberation Week, and we are wasting billions on experimentation on animals, and let's not waste money anymore, huh? Let's make a donation to Go Vegan Radio. You can do so online at goveganradio.com.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
First, you said you couldn't go vegan because you couldn't get rid of mayonnaise. Then along came Veganaise. Now you're clinging to the bagel and cream cheese excuse? No excuse. Follow Your Heart is pleased to announce its new Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative. Creamy and smooth with the taste, texture, and color of traditional cream cheese. No animal products, hydrogenated oils, or preservatives. 76% organic. Visit followyourheart.com for Angel's Heavenly Vegan Cheesecake Recipe. Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative from Follow Your Heart. Available nationwide. Eating raw doesn't mean doing without life's great pleasures, and the Everything Raw Company at EverythingRaw.com proves it with two delectable food bars that you'll think are decadent. Actually, the chewy, raw, dark chocolate, 29% cacao is called Raw Decadence. Order it at EverythingRaw.com. Also try the Indigo Nights Bar, a creamy pistachio fudge bar that tastes like a brownie. Both are vegan, fair trade, 100% raw, organic, gluten-free, and delicious. Order at EverythingRaw.com. Call 434-293-6325. EverythingRaw.com.
Get all of your vegan essentials from veganessentials.com, your online vegan superstore. Food, snacks, sweets, vitamins and supplements, clothing, vegan footwear, belts, bags, wallets, 1,200 vegan items in stock at veganessentials.com. Order online or toll free at 866-88-VEGAN. Cosmetics, bath and body, candles, fragrances, massage, products for baby, home, companion animals, vegan dog and cat food. veganessentials.com. Go Vegan Radio listeners get special discounts when you enter GVR in the coupon box at veganessentials.com.
Explore the world of rice at Lotus Foods. Perfect rice starts with the perfect rice cooker from lotusfoods.com. 100% stainless steel, No aluminum or Teflon like other rice cookers. Order at lotusfoods.com. Lotus Foods, bringing you exotic heirloom organic rice from small family farms around the world. Try new organic jade pearl rice, bamboo infused for flavor and nutrition. Also new, organic forbidden rice, the same heirloom grain grown exclusively for Chinese emperors. Available at Whole Foods, Safeway, and natural food stores around America. From Lotus Foods, also, purchase a rice sampler gift box at lotusfoods.com, along with the perfect rice cooker from Lotus Foods.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker, and I want you to come on down to my favorite restaurant in the whole world, Sublime. Acclaimed by food critics, Sublime offers world vegan cuisine, and 100% of Sublime's profits benefit animal welfare. It's located in the heart of Fort Lauderdale. Hope to see you there. For reservations, call 954-539-9000 or visit sublimerestaurant.com.
Don't have a cow? That's mad. Be glad. Have a Sunshine Burger, the original, great-tasting, organic, vegan veggie burger. High protein, wheat-free, gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free since 1983. Pure and simple ingredients, organic ground raw sunflower seeds, farm-fresh produce and grains, sea salt, oven-baked, heat and serve. Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section. Four varieties, original, Southwest, barbecue, and garden herb. Sunshine Burger. Visit sunshineburger.com. Based on the latest satellite data, NASA climate scientists predict nearly all ice could be gone from the Arctic Ocean by the end of summer 2012. NASA scientist James Hansen said, "We have passed tipping points. We have not passed the point of no return. It's going to require a quick turn in direction." For more urgent details on saving our planet, going vegan and green, visit suprememastertv.com. That's suprememastertv.com.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
And we continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Bob Linden here, your animal liberation media infiltrator. And please support this program. We need your tax-deductible donations. We're a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. So you can make your check payable to GoVeganRadio/IHC, as in International Humanities Center, and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147, and for archives and podcasts. And to donate online, go to GoVeganRadio.com. We are just about entering National Primate Liberation Week, and talking us today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, it's Michael Budke, who is the executive director of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. Welcome back to the show, Michael. How are you?
Very good. How are you, Bob?
Good. Good to hear from you again. So tell us, what is National Primate Liberation Week?
National Primate Liberation Week this year is October 11th through 19th, and this is a national event where we try to focus the nation's attention on the plight of non-human primates that are confined and abused in laboratories across the U.S. The last information we've been able to obtain from the USDA indicates that during 2006, the use of primates in laboratories reached an all-time high, with over 62,000 primates being experimented on in the United States alone.
62,000, yeah.
But that is not even the entire picture, because those are only the primates that are experimented on, and the USDA does not take into account in those figures the animals that are confined for use in breeding or later experimentation. So we would estimate that the actual total of primates in U.S. laboratories is probably something close to twice that, something along the lines of 110 to 120,000.
And what's happening to primates in the laboratories behind the windowless walls? I don't think we get to see too often what's happening, do we?
No, this is not something that research facilities want the general public to really know about. There are a lot of different kinds of experimentation that happen to non-human primates. many of the different procedures involve things like the use of primate restraint chairs, which is a device that's kind of a combination of plexiglass and steel tubing that into which the primates are literally strapped down, and in some instances their heads are even bolted in place. We're finding that it's very common for primates to be deprived of water or food so that these items can be used as rewards to force them to participate in certain kinds of behavioral experiments. But one of the things that we've seen is that really possibly the cruelest thing you can do to a non-human primate such as a rhesus monkey or a squirrel monkey is to put them into the laboratory cage in the first place. These enclosures, these stainless steel cages, are so small that the monkeys can only take a couple of steps in any given direction. They're tall enough that they can stand up usually and not do much more than that. And the result of this kind of intensive confinement, and in many instances actual social isolation as well, is that many non-human primates in laboratories literally lose their minds. They begin to pull out their own hair. In some instances, they become so self-destructive that they will chew on their fingers and toes or attack their tails. It's not uncommon for primates in many situations, when you look at their health records, to be missing fingers and toes or to have very short stump tails.
Mm. And so what is the reason generally given for all of this experimentation, all of these primates in laboratories? Are we curing cancer or heart disease? What's going on?
Well, the vast majority of primate experimentation has nothing to do with the major diseases that are killing human beings. One of the things we're doing during Primate Liberation Week is we're making a number of grant applications for primate experimentation available on our website, because this allows everyone to see the real reason that that primate experimentation in particular and animal experimentation as a whole really goes on, and that's the almighty dollar. What many people don't know is that when a grant is approved, say for the University of California up in San Francisco is one example, very often a grant will be approved in an amount of, say, approximately $250,000 per year. And that is used to pay the researcher, purchase monkeys, things of that nature. Well, there's another part of this called indirect costs, and each laboratory has their own level of indirect costs. One grant I was looking at the other day was for a $250,000 project. The indirect cost level was $215,000. That means that while $250,000 goes to the researcher for salary and laboratory space and things like that, $215,000 goes directly to the university into what is usually an unrestricted financial pool that's used to pay for things like utility bills, general staffing, anything the university wants to put it towards. And that's really why this goes on.
So animals are being tortured for a revenue stream for the university?
Sure. The use of animals in laboratories across the United States overall is approximately a $12 billion a year industry. And there are many laboratories, including several branches of the University of California, that annually receive something in the vicinity of $90 to $100 million per year for the performance of animal experiments. That's why it goes on.
So UCSF receives about $100 million, UCLA?
In that vicinity.
UCLA about $100 million?
California Davis up in the Sacramento area is in that vicinity as well financially. And in fact, University of California Davis, according to the most recent information we've gotten, and this was from their animal use report for fiscal 2007, either experimented on or held captive almost 7,700 primates at that one facility alone.
Hmm. Wow, this is kind of amazing that, we're talking about the U.S. economy collapsing, that that so much of it is based on animal exploitation. And look at what you're telling us here. Again, what sort of figure? I mean, you're talking in the multi-billion dollars of waste, right? Because we're not... this isn't curing any disease, and they're not even saying it is, right? And then if anybody wants to cure the major diseases, they would know to go vegan, and that's basically, you know, all of these animals are in laboratories suffering from meat and dairy consumption.
Well, I mean, one example of this whole issue is there's an area of experimentation which is we refer to as brain mapping in primates, and the National Eye Institute, which is part of the National Institutes of Health, is currently funding roughly 75 grants involving the use of rhesus monkeys in this brain mapping of the visual centers. Most of these primates are confined to restraint chairs during experimentation. They have restraining bars and recording cylinders literally bolted into the bones of their skull. They are usually deprived of either food or water to motivate them to participate in the experiments. In other words, for example, at University of California, San Francisco, in recent years, Steven Lisberger's research has deprived rhesus monkeys of water for as much as 22 hours a day, 5 days a week. The only time they actually have access to fluids is when they're participating in the experiment, because then obviously it's a very effective reward. If you've not had anything to drink for 22 hours, most people and most primates would actually be willing to do almost anything to get some water, and that's what happens.
And they're drilling into their skulls, they're putting coils in their eyes. It's horrendous, right? I mean, what's going
on? Even if for some reason you didn't care about the animals, why are we funding virtually identical research protocols dozens of times simultaneously? Those 75 research protocols that we talked about that the National Eye Institute is funding take tens of millions of dollars a year. The average NIH grant is roughly $400,000 a year. For the money that goes into those 75 grants, we could give 1 year's worth of health insurance coverage to 2,500 families of four in the United States.
Mm. What a waste, you know. The economy collapses, and it's and all of this money goes toward worthless vivisection. We're talking to Michael Budke. He's the executive director of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. As we begin National Primate Liberation Week, we have another minute or two. How did you get involved personally in this? Starting this week's commemoration and your involvement?
Well, I became involved in dealing with the use of animals in laboratories after completing my education, in which I spent 9 months as a student inside an animal laboratory. I was trained to do many of the procedures, for example, that are part of what are considered to be product testing, LD50 and Dreyer studies, things that are done with rats, mice, rabbits, and in some instances, primates.
What's LD50?
LD50 stands for lethal dose to 50% of the animals being studied. It's an oral toxicity test where essentially animals are poisoned until half of them die. This is typically done for the testing of consumer products, things like laundry detergent, floor cleaner, and dish detergent. And while this is not really directly connected too often to what happens to primates, this is something that consumers support with their shopping dollars every time they purchase products from a company like, for example, Procter & Gamble.
Michael, we're just out of time in this segment. Maybe you can stay with us and we'll carry over and talk about some of the events coming up this week and some of the cities that are airing Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And please, if you miss any of the interview here, you can go to the website for the archive, goveganradio.com, where you can make a tax-deductible donation.
Experiment on animals? What a waste of their lives and your money.
GoVeganRadio.com.
vegan.com.
And we continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Lind and our guest Michael Budke, the executive director of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. And is there a website, by the way, for the events going on with National Primate Liberation Week, Michael?
Yes, our main website is www.saenonline.org. And at the top of the homepage, there is a link to the page which has been designated for National Primate Liberation Week. It has everything from information about what happens to primates in laboratories to listings of events in cities across the United States.
Okay, and what are some of the major events happening around the cities where Go Vegan is aired? We'll get to Los Angeles in the local LA segment that just runs on K-Talk there, but San Francisco, Seattle, anything going on?
We have events in San Francisco. There are going to be two protests there, one on October 13th at 10 a.m. and one on October 16th at noon. These are targeting the University of California, San Francisco, and they are at the meeting place is 513 Parnassus Avenue. And if anyone misses the exact details of this, all of this is posted on our website.
All right, so that's at UCSF Monday at 10 and Thursday at noon, 513 Parnassus, UCSF, University of Cruelty and Scientific Fraud, UCSF. Okay.
I've certainly heard that designation used for them.
UCSF. Okay.
There are going to be demonstrations really across the United States, and there's going to be a news conference in Seattle that's going to expose information about what's going inside the laboratories of the University of Washington in Seattle, and the experimentation there is actually really exactly the kind of thing we were talking about before, the primate restraint share, depriving the animals of water, and this is one of the things that we're really trying to bring up to people, is that this exact same thing is going on in so many different places.
Mm-hmm. And the vivisectors have nice houses. I noticed that. At least that's what I hear from people who have protested.
Well, in many instances, I think it would be safe to say that animal researchers' salaries are in six figures.
Wow. Hmm. And to produce absolutely nothing and get six figures, well, they're almost sounding like
politicians.
They can work on Wall Street. What waste, huh? That's really incredible. So, okay, so I guess that's what we're looking at. So go to the website, Stop Animal Exploitation Now, SAEN.org?
It's www.saenonline.org.
Okay, any hyphen there or
no.
Okay, SAEN, like Stop Animal Exploitation Now online, SAEN.org. Check it out, National Primate Liberation Week. And Michael, we'll talk to you in our separate Los Angeles segment regarding what's happening at UCLA, and people can hear that on the website, goveganradio.com.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
Go Vegan Radio is happy to welcome the sponsorship of Explorer's Bounty, exploring the planet for nature's finest bounty and offering sustainable products, USDA certified organic from estate and co-op farming partnerships. Ask for Explorer's Bounty products at your natural foods market, select grocers, or order online at explorersbounty.com. Remember, while you're enjoying that delicious cup of coffee or that handful of artisan dark chocolate from Explorer's Bounty, you're not only helping Go Vegan Radio, but you're supporting small, sustainable farmers around the globe. Visit explorersbounty.com right now to order USDA certified organic coffee, whole bean or ground. Select the wonderful Peruvian light roast or medium roast from Colombia and Costa Rica, and dark roast from Ethiopia and Sumatra. Also available, Sumatran dark roast decaf. And to satisfy that sweet craving, look for the organic vegan dark chocolates, hand-covered espresso beans, cocoa beans, macadamia nuts, and cashews. Explore for yourself at explorersbounty.com. That's explorersbounty.com.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A total treat. No meat in San Jose. Oh, one of the true West Coast dining treasures. Vegetarian House. Vegan organic cuisine at 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. Amazing appetizers, soups, and entrees. Asian delicacies, Western specialties, organic juices, coffee, cake, desserts. A chai tea on weekends, that's an experience in itself. As all items on the menu are. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Call 408-292-3798.
You say you have a beef with your jerky, and now that you know it's mad and sad to be biting on bovine, how now? No cow? Primal Strips and Primal Sticks Meatless Jerky. Meaty satisfaction without the meat. At Whole Foods and natural markets everywhere. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com and visit your natural foods market for smoked or pepperoni Primal Sticks or Primal Strips varieties. Hickory Smoked, Teriyaki, Texas Barbecue, Thai Peanut, Hot and Spicy, Mesquite Lime, Vegan. Kosher, no preservatives, MSG, GMOs, or cholesterol. Soy, seitan, shiitake, voted Veg News Best of Show Natural Products Expo, and Pita Pragi for Best Vegan Snack. How now, no cow? Yummy, high-protein, primal strips, and primal sticks at Whole Foods and your natural foods market. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. That's PrimalSpiritFoods.com.
Hello, I'm Ingrid Newkirk with Pita. Did you know that the Dalai Lama says his religion is compassion, or that the supermodel Petra has a super healing body? How about that Paul McCartney still can't read music and Brigitte Bardot has a bedroom full of mice? You'll find those tidbits and more in my new book, One Can Make a Difference. I've compiled more than 50 essays written by very interesting individuals. Some you know, like Kevin Bacon, Oliver Stone, Martina Navratilova, and Moby, while others are so-called ordinary people, armed only with their convictions, but who changed the world. This book is perfect for anyone who doesn't simply want to die with the most toys, but look back on their life and be happy at what they've accomplished. It is motivating, inspiring, and interesting, and at times funny and heartbreaking. Order One Can Make a Difference from petercatalog.org or your local bookstore. You'll be the happier for it.
First you said you couldn't go vegan because you couldn't get rid of mayonnaise. Then along came Veginase. Now you're clinging to the bagel and cream cheese excuse? No excuse. Follow Your Heart is pleased to announce its new Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative. Creamy and smooth with the taste, texture, and color of traditional cream cheese. No animal products, hydrogenated oils, or preservatives. 76% organic. Visit followyourheart.com for Angel's Heavenly Vegan Cheesecake Recipe. Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative from Follow Your Heart. Available nationwide.
Please make donations to this show to help make it a better world. Click donate at goveganradio.com.
It is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, supported by tax-deductible donations and the sponsorship of advertisers who have vegan and cruelty-free products and services to promote. So please support the folks advertising on the show, and please send a tax-deductible donation. We are a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center, so you make your check payable to GoVeganRadio/IHC and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. That enables us to purchase the airtime from the radio station so that there can be a voice of compassion and a voice for environmental sustainability that we hope to be here. The future is vegan. Wouldn't it be great if there were a chain of restaurants that were totally vegan worldwide, available everywhere? Well, it is happening. Loving Hut. Loving Hut. Hopefully there will be one near you. More and more, that's the case. The first one opened up in Milpitas not that long ago at 650 Barber Lane. Since then, they're in Hong Kong and Vietnam, and just last weekend was the grand opening of the Palo Alto location at 165 East University Avenue. I visited there this week and was treated to one of the most pleasurable dining experiences imaginable. Please go there. The food is spectacular. It's such a comfortable, wonderful, cheerful environment because everything is vegan, no animal products. So, you know, there's no cruelty there. It's just a happy place to be. Loving Hut. And this weekend is the grand opening of the San Francisco Loving Hut at 1365 Stockton Street in Chinatown. So you can go to lovinghut.us, lovinghut.us. Really unbelievable. The food is great. So bring your friends who think that they're meat eaters, but of course they are. Herbivores. We are naturally herbivores, so it's not radical to be vegan. It's going back to your natural self, basically. And I'm really, as most people, in a state of shock over the economy, and really more and more astonished by the connection to meat in bringing our economy down. I don't know how you can put a price tag on the destruction upon the U.S. and world economies. You might as well call them the economy-meat, because that's basically what's bringing them down. I mean, meat and dairy connected to everything evil on the planet. Global warming, causing global warming, causing violence and war. You don't think it causes war? Well, let's look at, go back to Socrates here. Well, here it's written, an acre of beans or peas produces 10 times more, and an acre of spinach 28 times more protein, and that's being compared to animal foods. A study published in Plant Foods for Human Nutrition revealing that an acre of grains produces 5 times more protein than an acre of pasture set aside for meat production. An acre of beans or peas produces 10 times more, and an acre of spinach 28 times more protein. Economic facts like that were well known to the ancient Greeks and Plato's Republic. The great Greek philosopher Socrates recommended a vegetarian diet, knowing that it would allow a country to make the most intelligent use of agricultural resources. He warned that if people began eating animals, the world, there would actually be a need for more pasture land. And the country, which had to support the original inhabitants on the vegetarian diet, would now be too small, so we would have to march off to war and conquer other lands. And Tolstoy also said, as long as there are battlefields, Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And, you know, the cost of the economy coming down, and that certainly can cause upheavals and, you know, food riots going on around the world, and the world hunger, disease, just the total environmental devastation of deforestation, desertification, soil erosion, resource depletion, water usage, water pollution, land pollution, the natural disasters being caused by all of this. How can you put a price tag on it? How can you put a price tag on everything caused by meat? We're subsidizing our mass suicide, our health system. T. Colin Campbell in the China study, T. Colin Campbell of Cornell University, saying 80% of fatal degenerative disease in this country caused by animal protein, and not much of it. So how does that add up in the trillions? We talked about the subsidies before with the food chart and the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And also, I'd like to get to what I mentioned before from the Union of Concerned Scientists, the untold costs of confined animal feeding operations, coming out this past April from Doug Gurian-Sherman, senior scientist with the Union of Concerned Scientists. And the discussion here is really about the costs we don't even consider, that livestock production has undergone such a transformation, and even just to call livestock, isn't, you know, we make commodities out of animals, livestock. when they are feeling beings. But anyway, so it says here, livestock production has undergone a transformation, which a small number of very large CAFOs, that's confined animal feeding operation, so a very small number of CAFOs predominate. These CAFOs have imposed significant but largely unaccounted for costs to taxpayers and communities throughout the United States. CAFOs are characterized by large numbers of animals crowded into a confined space and unnatural and unhealthy condition that concentrates too much manure in too small an area. Many of the costly problems caused by the CAFOs can be attributed to the storage and disposal of this manure and the overuse of antibiotics in livestock to stave off disease. The predominance of CAFOs is not the inevitable result of market forces. It has been fostered by misguided public policy. I am quoting here as, you know, from the Union of Concerned Scientists. Alternative production methods can be efficient, etc., it says here. However, these alternatives are at a complete disadvantage because CAFOs have reduced their costs through subsidies that come at the public's expense, including low-cost feed. CAFOs have also benefited from taxpayer-supported pollution cleanup programs and technological fixes that may be counterproductive, such as the overuse of antibiotics. And by shifting the risks of their production methods onto the public, CAFOs avoid the costs of the harm that they cause. It continues by describing several of the subsidies and other hidden costs of CAFOs that are imposed on society, referred to as externalized costs or externalities. This report attempts to clarify the real price we pay and can no longer afford for this harmful system. These externalities are associated with the damage caused by water and air pollution, along with cleanup and prevention, the costs borne by rural communities, e.g., lower property values, and the costs associated with excessive antibiotic use, e.g., harder to treat human disease. Subsidies have included payments to grain farmers that historically supported unrealistically low animal feed prices and payments to CAFOs to prevent water pollution. CAFOs, too big for our own good. It says here most of the problems caused by CAFOs result from, and the, you know, heavily confined animal operations we're talking about here, CAFOs result from the excessive size and crowded conditions. CAFOs contain at least 1,000 large animals, such as beef cows, or tens of thousands of smaller animals, such as chickens, and many are much larger, with tens of thousands of beef cows or hogs, and hundreds of thousands of chickens. The problems that arise from excessive size and density, e.g. air and water pollution from manure, overuse of antibiotics, are exacerbated by the parallel trend of geographical concentration, whereby CAFOs for particular types of livestock have become concentrated in certain parts of the country. For example, large numbers of swine CAFOs are now located in Iowa and North Carolina, dairy CAFOs in California, and broiler chicken CAFOs in Arkansas and Georgia. We need to be concerned about these excessively large feeding operations because they have become the predominant means of producing meat and dairy products in this country over the past few decades. Although they comprise only about 5% of all U.S. animal operations, CAFOs now produce more than 50% of our food animals. They also produce about 65% of the manure from U.S. animal operations, or about 300 million tons per year, more than double the amount generated by this country's entire human population. For the purposes of this report, there are approximately 9,900 U.S. CAFOs producing hogs, dairy cows, beef, broiler chickens, and laying hens. CAFOs have relied on cheap inputs, water, energy, and especially feed, to support the high animal densities that offset these operations' high fixed costs, such as buildings. Feed accounts for about 60% of the cost of producing hogs and chickens and is also an important cost for dairy and beef cows. And federal policies have encouraged the production of expensive grain that benefits CFOs. Perhaps even more important has been the concentration of market power in the processing industry upon which animal farmers depend. Let's see here. The many hidden costs of CAFOs, feed grain subsidies. CAFOs have been indirectly supported by huge taxpayer-funded subsidies that compensated grain farmers for excessively low prices. Because feed makes up such a large part of CAFOs' costs, lower grain prices can have a big impact on the total cost of production. Over the past few decades, federal farm bills have progressively moved toward policies that let grain prices fall below the cost of production and compensate farmers for much of the difference. Without such subsidies, grain farmers would not have been able to continue selling their products at such low prices. Let's see, when extended to include the dairy, beef, and when extended to include the dairy, beef, and egg sectors, low-cost grain was worth a total of almost $35 billion to CAFOs from 1996 to 2005, or almost $4 billion a year. Those were the subsidies, $4 billion a year to the grain people. Pollution prevention subsidies, they were there. Okay, so on and on it goes. Millions and millions of dollars from those pollution prevention subsidies. You can check this out at Union of Concerned Scientists. Many cities, Chesapeake Bay's blue crab industry had a value of $52 million. It lost it because of the spillage from the farms. Well, I tell you what, I am going to have to continue this into next week. I mean, the costs are devastating. They're into the billions and billions and billions of dollars just in the subsidies for these large factory farms, not taking into account so much more that we can blame meat for this economic collapse. And maybe this is a chance to press the restart button for us to go organic and vegan. Certainly the United Nations is recommending substantial reductions in meat consumption to combat global warming. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We need your financial support. You can make a donation online at goveganradio.com.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
Peace begins with your plate, your vegan plate. Vegan Plate Restaurant, 11943 Ventura Boulevard, just east of Laurel Canyon in Studio City, at Radford next to CBS Studios. Vegan Plate Restaurant, international cuisine, appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, wraps, burgers, desserts, lunch and dinner combinations. Vegan Plate Restaurant, Studio City. Free delivery, open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., 818-506-9015. 11943 Ventura Boulevard, Vegan Plate Restaurant.
One of the great dining delights in all of Southern California is Vegetable Delight Restaurant in Granada Hills. Over the centuries, Buddhist monks have perfected the art of replicating tastes and textures of meat and seafood. Dishes using such ingredients as tofu, mushrooms, gluten, yam paste. The LA Times Review calls Vegetable Delight a special delight, and the food astounding. 17823 Chatsworth Street near White Oak, Granada Hills. Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 to 9:30. Vegetable Delight Restaurant. Dine in or take out. 818-360-3997.
Wouldn't it be great to have delicious local organic produce delivered to your home or office? You can, from farm fresh to you, delivering a box of seasonal organic produce directly to your door anywhere in the Bay Area with a flexible schedule, weekly, bi-monthly, or once a month. You can receive a delivery of produce for as little as $21.50 per month. Farming organically since 1976. Farmfreshtoyou.com. Use the promo code 4250 when you order, sign up, and save $15 at farmfreshtoyou.com.
Hooray for Hollywood. It has a truly wonderful vegan restaurant, Truly Vegan. 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson, just off the 101 freeway at the Hollywood Boulevard exit. Enjoy Truly for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Enjoy the new soy beef burger with bacon strips or the cheesy grilled potato burrito, the burrito supreme with bacon strips and vegetable dumplings. Truly Vegan. Truly wonderful. Truly caters. Truly delivers. TrulyVegan.net is the website. Truly Vegan.
You may not have had this thought before, but you, my friend, are herbivore. Not meant to dine on flesh and gore. Instead, let's eat at Herbivore. 100% vegan, that's for sure. Delicious, nutritious Herbivore. Breakfast daily, 9 to 2. Pancakes, French toast, crepes, a scramble or burrito for you. Salads, wraps, sandwiches, soup du jour. At friendly and fun-filled Herbivore. Fill up on falafel, lasagna, lunch, dinner, entrees galore. Delicious desserts, a fine wine will pour. Looking forward to seeing you at Herbivore.
Three barrier locations in San Francisco at 983 Valencia and 531 Divisadero, and in Berkeley at 2451 Shattuck. Visit herbivorerestaurant.com for directions, phone numbers, and hours. Open 9 a.m. daily and late on weekends. Featuring about 200 menu items. See them at herbivorerestaurant.com. It's a fun place to hang out. Bring your friends. It's great being an herbivore. It's great eating at Herbivore.
No meat for me. My tummy isn't a graveyard.
Wouldn't your tax dollars go to better use by donating them to Go Vegan Radio? Go to the website, goveganradio.com. Better use than, you know, going to meat. You know, that's where the whole economy seems to go. I'm still in a state of shock. We're talking about this report here on the effect of highly concentrated factory farms and the harm to rural communities. Get this. CAFOs are cited in rural communities that bear the brunt of the harm caused by them. The harm includes the frequent presence of foul odors and water contaminated by nitrogen and pathogens, as well as higher rates of respiratory and other diseases compared with rural areas that are not located near CAFOs. One study determined that each CAFO in Missouri has lowered property values in its surrounding communities by an average of $2.68 million. So they multiply that out by the number of CAFOs, 9,900. Extrapolating those numbers to affect those communities in a similar way to that in Missouri. And what do they say? That's a loss of $26 billion in real estate value. Factory farms are bad neighbors. Bad news. Good news is the broadcast from last week at the San Francisco Vegetarian Society event, Golden Gate Park, available now at goveganradio.com.